Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Talk with Shell, where there's always variety in life. I hope you'll tune in live on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time. But for now, today, we're going to get started with a lovely lady named Wanda from North Carolina as my first guest on this Zoom video chat. Or if you're listening, then you'll be hearing it on the audio version through Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. And let's see if Wanda would like to join us on video now.
There we are.
Oh, beautiful. Look at that size. Look at that sunshine. Rays of sunshine were like beaming on you.
I'm trying to reposition so that it will be so bright.
Oh, but it was so beautiful. Wow. What a nice introduction. So nice to see you.
You as well.
So let's get started. So again, what I'm doing today is called Coffee and Conversation. You know, we're going through a pandemic. We all have struggles. And I just want to like talk it out. You know, let's get to know each other, learn what, you know, some negatives and positives are going on in our lives. I guess I'll start. We mentioned earlier, Wanda and I were talking about how we both have crochet in common. I've been volunteer teaching crochet classes every couple of weeks. While I've also been sick, you might hear I keep losing my voice. I have been sick off and on since May. They're not for sure because they never do the test in a timely manner, but they think I've had COVID and that I'm a COVID-19 long hauler, but I don't know. All I know is my oxygen got down to 84 last week and I was in bed rest for 8 days and I'm so happy to be here right now. I was really scared, but all is well now, so here we are. So let's get started. Oh, one more. Oh, we have Omar here. I'm so excited, Wanda. Hold on.
Sure.
Omar the Great, my favorite actor, is joining.
Hey, Shell.
Hi, Omar. You're going to meet Wanda from North Carolina, and we might have some others joining us shortly because everybody's late. There's Omar. How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, at Wanda. The car. I'm good. I'm at the car wash. Hey, Wanda.
I can't see you.
All right. Be right back.
Oh, there she is. Hey, Wanda.
Yeah, she's in North Carolina, Omar.
Which part?
Omar, I'm in the Raleigh area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's not a NASCAR fan. I hate to tell you, you have a sports podcast.
Not at all.
He doesn't watch.
Don't feel bad. I'm not crazy for NASCAR either. I mean, I watch sports, but NASCAR was never at the top of my list.
Okay.
I was gonna have each of you share like what's one positive and one negative thing going on in your lives during this pandemic. Would you like to
Omar, while I'm getting situated, I'm gonna go after Omar.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Wanda. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Omar.
Here. Yeah.
Well, I'll make mine. I got a few positives, but I'll try to narrow it down. One great thing is that I've noticed that people are spending so much more time with their families and their children than they normally would. And although it's driving a lot of people crazy because they have to be around their kids 24/7 or around their spouse 24/7, seems as though it's a real positive in general for familial relations, because it's so easy when we're all in the rat race to get separated and not really keep in contact with knowing each other and keeping each other and really, you know, just being your brother's keeper. So that's a positive. Mm-hmm. I feel like one negative in general, and I've been doing my best to tamp this down, is just the anxiety of like mask wearing and whatnot. There's a disconnection that the concern about infection makes with your fellow man. So when you see people now, from what I read out west, you guys in North Carolina and in Texas are pretty liberal about mask wearing, which is, I can't understand, seems overtly dangerous. But here, you know, we got great weather year round, and they've done a lot to try to open things up for outdoor activity since the transmission is so much more difficult outdoors. But when it first started reopening, once we first started reopening, you would go places and see people standing next to each other, sitting next to each other, and it was a shock. And that's a negative, because human connection is critical, you know?
It is.
And
yes.
Never want to feel like we're disconnected, or where it feels as though, you know, it's bizarre to see another person with another person, or forget how imperative and important it is to experience touch and personal intimacy, face-to-face mm-hmm. conversation, share a cup of coffee, have a drink, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well said, Omar.
That was well said. And well, I'm lifting my cup as well.
Yeah, Bo. Yeah. A little Bojangle.
I love the place. I love it.
I love it too. Not good for my waist.
I know what you mean, but I'm definitely in Carolina, so.
Too funny. Oh. You know, that's a good point. Like, for me, Omar will tell you, Wanda, like, if you meet me, I'm like, I don't give handshakes. I give you a hug. It's so difficult for me. Like, I just can't stand it. I want to hug everybody, and I can't.
Well, Omar had a lot of positive. Yeah, I agree totally with everything that he said. For me, by having to deal with this, the pandemic, I have been able to do a lot of reflecting on my life, because I am sticking to the rules, social distancing, and the isolation can be overwhelming. As far as with your mentally challenging is what it can be, with the rise of the anxiety level, making sure that I do everything I can to not be depressed. Loneliness is also something that I deal with. I've got a wonderful dog, Morgan. She's 12 years old. I don't know what I'd do without her. But with me sticking to the rules and making sure I keep my distance and keep my mask with me when I'm out, it's been a challenge for me. It's been a challenge. So I've had a lot of time to reflect on my life, see what areas I think need to be changed, and really just try to just to say, okay, where are we, and why are we going through this, and what, you know, how can we be better prepared if there's something like this should occur again? And it will. This, you know, this has kind of got out of hand because of the way, I guess, we just are not complying with the rules. But this has been a challenge. It has definitely been a challenge for me.
Yeah, and I mean, you did mention
that's great to share, by the way. I just want to say that one. And also, it's not just that we're non-compliant. There's a problem because the rules aren't set. So when you don't have national leadership, we have a great governor. He does a lot, and we were the first people to lock down.
Omar, but where are you?
I'm in California.
Okay, you're in California. Yeah. Yes, I see your governor on the news quite a bit. Yes.
Yes, we do.
He's caught a lot of flack because we have a handful of dissenters, but by and large, everybody supports that. Him, the idea, the whole thing. But without the national plan, I'm definitely the most negative thing in general is Donald Trump. And, and without the national plan to actually make people aware of what works, real quick, I do a lot of international travel. I speak to a lot of my friends all over the world who are out living their lives like normal. This thing actually isn't rocket science.
Right.
We're just not doing what it takes.
We're not complying. It's like you just said.
But most of us, since there's so many lies and so much deception coming from the very top about how this thing transfers and what it is, it really puts people in a position to question everything. Whereas if you look beyond our borders, I mean, literally just to Canada, you look just north up to Canada, Canadians are living like normal right now.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot
because it's under
better.
Control. Mm-hmm. Because there was a national plan of attack.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if California locks down, if Texas doesn't, because people are going to fly back and forth between Texas and California. And then they spread it out.
Yeah. Wow. And look at all the work that New York has done and where they are to get the rate so low to really have control of this. But then when you have people coming in and out from various states, it's just a matter of time, I think, before their rates start itching back up.
Yeah, each state, that's what keeps happening. And then I agree with Omar, like, you know, I keep saying, like, you know, if you can't lead by example, our own president finally wore a mask one time after how many months? Like, how are we going to get well? It's so infuriating, honestly.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know, but I was just saying, I agree with you. Like, I was just saying the example of Trump only finally wearing a mask one time after so long. Like, you know, he's not leading by example in any way whatsoever. This country is falling apart.
Yes. And quickly and bigly as well. Quickly and bigly, we're falling apart. So there you go.
The truth.
Well, they're calling me, y'all, for my, they're calling me for my car. My car is finished getting washed. I haven't had a car wash in months. So I'm finally here. I'm really excited about it.
You know that and, movie, Car Wash?
I gotta go pay everybody.
I remember and, at the car wash, yes.
I love that movie.
I love the car wash. How could you not like car wash? Richard Pryor, Rolls Royce? What are you,
that's
crazy?
It.
Great
that's
movie.
It.
Yes.
All right, now. Hey, it's good seeing y'all. Good seeing Michelle. Great meeting you, Wanda.
You as well,
Amar. Be careful.
Thanks, Omar.
Take care of yourselves.
You
take
too.
Care of each other.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'll be at the next one when I got more time. Shell, just let me know.
You got it. Thanks, Omar.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, I love him. That's my favorite actor, my friend.
I see.
Super Bowl came here. I think it was like, I don't know, whatever Super Bowl was here to Dallas 2011 or 2012. Uh-huh. And I got a press pass and interviewed a lot of celebrities. And he was my favorite because he's always been my favorite actor since I heard his Laugh in 8 Mile movie, and I've watched every one of his movies ever since. And,
okay.
And we became friends, and here we are, 2020.
I really liked his comments and everything he said. I tell you, really good input.
Very well said. Mm-hmm. It's sad but true, though. You know, like, I keep praying and wondering for resolution. I mean, you know, like he said, all these other countries are doing so much better. What's it going to take for ours? You know, I mean, there has to be something eventually that finally just clicks. Because like you mentioned, each state, when they get better, then they, you know, like even here, our infection rate went down to under 0.1. Now it's back up to like 1.8. It just goes down and up. It never just goes down and stays down. What, I mean, what's it going to take? What do you think?
I just think that already is very prevalent, but I think for some people that refuse to comply, then if they have, if when the time comes that they should lose a loved one or someone very close to them, then they'll realize this is real and it's not a hoax. I have already lost a family member. I've already lost friends, and it didn't take the loss of those people for me to realize that this is real. But I believe for some people it's going to have to hit home.
Yeah, I agree.
I really think so. I don't think it's a conspiracy or anything. This is real. It is. It's just gotten out of hand because we all did not start at the very beginning to lock down on this, to all be on one accord. And because I feel we didn't have that in the beginning, we got out the gate late, and we still are not where we should be because you have a large amount of people who are not complying. But where we are, and I think it's because of this, it's taking us so long to get over this, and it's going to be quite a bit of ways to go.
I think so too. I know they kept saying initially like 18 months, like not even January, but maybe even by March or after 2021. And like here, you know, in most places now the schools are starting to reopen. Some are online, some are in person. I personally think it's going to be a huge cause effect there on the stats too, on the numbers. We've already had teacher training days for different school districts. Just teachers themselves have gotten COVID before the students have even arrived. That's a huge red flag. So it's very scary times. So scary.
It is. We didn't see this coming.
No.
We did not see this coming.
You know, it's funny because for me personally, 2020 started out horribly. I went to the movies on New Year's Day to see Spies Like Disguise because I love Will Smith, and he's a voiceover in the movie. And so I went thinking I was just going to have a nice New Year's Day relaxing. I ended up witnessing and reporting and running for help on an Amber Alert. A man tried to take, well, he did take a baby boy from this woman. And I ran for help. I got the security guard. Security guard went. It was too late. The man had already taken the baby, had exited, had gotten in the car, had driven off. The only good thing, saving grace, was that we got the license plate. And about a week later, they did find the baby safe and returned to mom. But that was how my 2020 began. And then the next month in February, I had a bad fall, broke my hand and all that.
Oh,
and then, March,
wow. I mean, that's not funny, but my goodness.
No, yeah, I can laugh. And then March, you know, pretty much stays
where
orders began.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have to agree. 2020 is not, it's kind of like someone said, did you stay up and waiting with your New Year's resolution for this? But I was excited about 2020 because I'd just written my very first book.
Wow.
I published, so I had planned to be out really promoting my book. And so I only had January, February. And March came, and that just sort of threw me off my game. And this is, and I'm still on hold as far as having to promote the way I want to, as far as, because it's a Christian based book about coping with loss. And I was in church at conferences and things like that promoting it. Well, right now we're not in church, and we're not bending in those things.
That is wonderful. That we have something in common there with Coping with Loss book. I volunteer teach grief recovery classes, and I've been very sad because they canceled our classes at my church during the pandemic. They keep postponing. We've postponed from March to October, and then we've been begging them, let us do it on Zoom. I said, people need this more than ever right now.
So yes,
as you'll see on Eventbrite, I created my own support group because it's needed. It's needed so badly. Mm-hmm. And your book is needed. So
I'm getting ready to do that and start doing an Eventbrite and it's just where, come on and let's talk about this, because there's so much death all around us, and many are not. And so many, of course, are not prepared, because this is unexpected with this virus. It's unexpected. But, and then some people have difficulties dealing with that loss of the loved one. And so it is definitely much needed. It's definitely much needed.
Definitely. And, you know, I've had people reach out that not just lost loved ones, but that I've had nurses, even doctors reach out to me because of PTSD, because of life changes. You know, they feel like grief recovery will help them in some way or another. When I teach the classes, it's mostly people lost loved ones, but some people that have had health issues like cancer, major life changes, or lost a job. One woman that lost her dog. I mean, grief can, as you know, can be anything, really.
It can. It can be. It can be.
Yeah.
What prompted me to write the book was after losing my mom. That just devastated me. But you are right. Loss can, not, it's not only a family member, a loved one. It could be your pet. It could be your best friend. It might be divorce for someone. It could be a variety of things that impacts us greatly emotionally. And it's definitely challenging.
Definitely. And what's the name of your book so everyone can find it?
The name of my book is Coping with the Loss of a Loved One. And it's on my website, mywordtherapy.com. Or if you want the ebook version, it's on Amazon. But my name is Dwanda Williams, and it's mywordtherapy.com.
That's awesome. I'm so happy you came today. This is wonderful. Go ahead.
As I was just going to say that right now, every opportunity I can get to talk about it, talk about the book I do, because of what we are living in right now, what we're dealing with. There are so many people who are struggling emotionally, but we still want to put up this front or facade that everything is okay. And I just want people to know that it's okay if you're not okay. That's okay. And just know in time. I know usually when people are going through things, they don't want to hear this. Well, in time, it's going to be better. Well, that's the reality of it. It does take time. So just hold on. Take one day at a time. Sometimes it might be just take an hour at a time. Take a few minutes at a time. A few seconds at a time. That's what it takes.
Definitely. That's what it takes. Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier that you had lost some loved ones, sadly, during, due to COVID. And I was thinking about that. Like, for me, I lost a couple of people, but it was a cause effect from COVID, but it wasn't directly. It was indirect mm-hmm. cause effect. For example, Kathy, my childhood neighbor, a dear friend, you know, grew up with, she passed away sadly in her mid-40s from breast cancer because she couldn't get treatment during the pandemic and the cancer spread rapidly. So, I mean, it was just terrible cause.
Sort of ties in. Yeah, sort of ties mm-hmm. in. Somehow COVID related.
Yeah.
Family and the classmates that I'm aware of that passed away was totally due to virus.
Wow. Scary. Yeah. I've known, you know, pretty much here, everyone, at least from I know, you know, myself and everyone that I do know, either they've had it, have it, or know someone that's had or mm-hmm. have it. You know, it's not like in the beginning where most people didn't really know anyone that, you know, affected by it. It was like, no, now it's like pretty much all around.
All around, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think for those people who refuse to comply, who just are just determined to want to look at this as a political issue, in just a matter of time, death is going to knock on the door of a loved one. There's our loved one or friend, someone really close that they are emotionally attached to, and then they're recognized. This is not a political issue. This is reality. This is real. It's not a hoax. It's real.
Exactly. I have a comedian friend, an aspiring comedian, and yeah, I mean, he, this entire time, he was just like, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. And then he got it. You know, a lot of my comedian friends actually got it just performing, sadly. You know, we had Dale Hughley here. They think he actually got COVID when he was here in Dallas, not where he collapsed in Nashville, because two or three of the openers, a couple of them that I know, they all got COVID. Like, he got COVID and they got, like, all around the same time. And it's just such a terrible cause effect, but, you know, you take that chance, sadly. But the one comedian, like, much respect for him for stepping up and admitting, like, oh, I was wrong. Like, you know, he apologized, like, because he was very adamant. He was one of those, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. And then it's just, I wish it didn't take that. I wish it didn't take, like, someone losing someone or themselves getting sick to realize it's not politics, you know, that it's real.
And I know we as Americans value our independence and our rights, but I think if we would stop for a moment and look outside of ourselves and decide that I'm going to comply with this, if whichever way it goes, I'm going to do this for the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, if we all band together and follow the guidelines, then we'll have a handle on this and get back to a better path, other things opening up. We can be allowed into other countries to travel, because I miss traveling. And things like that. So I just wish we would do that. I just wish we would just give it a try, a few weeks and see where it goes, and just still waiting.
Exactly. I've been saying that a lot when I was waiting on COVID test results. I kept saying, still waiting. I think we've learned patience more than anything else.
How long did it take you to get results from the test?
Oh my goodness. I had to do it twice. The first time was over 2 weeks. Second time actually was over 2 weeks, both times. Almost 3 weeks. Yes. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
There was no point of the test then when it takes that long.
Nope. And the first time was when they were stricter, when they look back and now, like, oh, you probably actually had it back initially when you got sick in May, but you were denied to take a test for a month. You had to wait a month just to take the test. Then once you took the test, you had to wait almost a month to get the results. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what was the point of that, you know? Terrible. I know here our governor is pushing for more rapid tests. That's another catch, though, because the rapid tests aren't as – well, we have that whole thing about inaccuracy. You know, the COVID tests are like 30% inaccurate here. However, they're pushing more for rapid tests, but then they say the rapid test could be even more inaccurate. So I was like, how do you balance that out?
Was that a rapid test that the governor of Ohio had taken, DeWine? He was positive, and then was the same day or the next day he was negative.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
That's pretty weird.
Definitely wasn't accurate with him.
No. Well, you know the story. Let's say, for example, the story of CVS. So people made an appointment, but then the drive-through lines were so long that some of them drove off. Like, they just didn't take the test. And then next thing they know, a few weeks later, they get results in their email saying they had it, that it was positive. And they're like, but how could I be positive? I didn't even take the test.
Heard about that. Was that true?
It's true.
Oh, I heard about
it. It happened. Yeah, I know people here. It happened. The only thing I could think the reason, I don't think it's a good reason. I think they need to fix it. The only thing I could think of is that there probably was some kind of default in the system for it to automatically do that. For all of them to keep getting positive results when they didn't even take the test. Like, they need to fix the glitch big time. It's so frightening. Yeah. But yeah, it's true.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah, now that's something that I heard about. I wasn't sure if that was.
Yeah, it's true. I wish it wasn't. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just been a really interesting experience. Well, you mentioned you travel. You like to travel. So I know Omar mentioned other countries are doing better. Where have you traveled in the past?
I have traveled to Canada, and I have traveled in Europe. I have been to England. Belgium, Spain, not Spain, France, Italy, Switzerland. I love Austria, Germany. I love Germany as well.
Cool.
So those are the countries that I may have left something out. I'm just kidding. And I love the islands, the Caribbeans, because I love the water.
Oh, I love water.
I love the water. Yes, as I mentioned earlier about the mental challenges that we're going through, but the isolation. If I can just get to, I would say the beach would help, but just like when you're on the cruise and you see that deep blue water, it just takes me to a new place. And I know that's all I need right now. I'd feel 100% better.
Definitely. Yeah, it's kind of ironic because, like, we're kind of restricted on travel in many ways.
Yes.
But at the same time, we've been more connected to nature and, like, outdoors, you know. Right. Like, isn't it funny when you think about that? Like, that's one positive I found because I love nature. And it's cool to see other people enjoying walking or riding bikes or, you know, what have you. And just, like, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. I feel so much more connected to the earth.
I definitely understand.
So
and
cool.
You're walking alone and you're just really in tune to not just look at the trees, but really notice the trees or listen to the birds chirping, or even as you're walking through nature, hearing the sound of underneath your feet as you're walking. It's such a spiritual connection. You can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That is something that's positive that's come out from this pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. And for me personally, like I told my art teacher, I always wanted to do art because I almost failed art class in sixth grade because of paper mache. It's terrible, but it's true. And so, you just have those thoughts, like kind of bucket lists with the pandemic. And I'm like, I'll try again. Why not? I have nothing to lose. I'll try art. And never thought I could draw. I've been doing drawings. I've been improving every week. And the coolest thing about that for me is two things. Art has helped me find my inner quiet self because I'm not very talkative, social, loud. But it also has helped me, like when you mentioned nature, I see things in a different perspective and appreciate them 10 times more because art just makes everything like look so beautiful, even when it might not be.
Yes. Yes. You can probably find beauty if you're walking through nature in the wintertime when there are no leaves on the trees and everything is just earth tone is just brown or gray, and you can still find beauty beneath that. You can still, because you know right now this is the resting phase. This is the resting phase, but I know when spring comes then I'll come alive again. So that's, you can sort of look at it that way. That's what I do.
Yeah. Yesterday I had to water the yard, which I never, ever have to do here because we need rain so badly here where I live in Texas. Mm-hmm. And like first time ever, I was like, oh my gosh, our grass is brown. Our leaves are turning brown. Like this is terrible. And I just spent like an hour or so just like going back and forth, just watering the yard. I was like, I don't want to use a sprinkler. I just want to do it myself. And it felt so nurturing. I mean, I have a dog. I don't have kids. I have a dog, but it felt like kind of like you have plants, you know, and you just nurture them. And it was just this amazing feeling came over me. Like, this is kind of cool. Not that I don't have to water the yard every day, but it felt really good. Like
when you said plants, it made me think of since I have been confined inside, what has really helped me, I focused in on, I love plants and I have many plants, but this year during this pandemic, I've been focusing on succulents.
How cool.
And I know some people probably say, okay, well, that's very easy to keep those alive. But for me, in the past, a few years back, I tried it and they would always die. So this time around, that is my personal challenge, is to keep my succulent plants alive. And so far, well, I probably bought about 12 or 13 if I had to toss out two or three because they died. But other than that, the majority of them are still alive. They're still green and beautiful. And I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm gonna pat my own self on the back.
You should.
Yes. So we've been in this pandemic since March. It's quite a while. So this is mid August.
That's extremely good. I mean, I had one plant when I was in college named Mr. Bogey because it was a little begonia plant, and I did not know how to take care of that poor thing. So no, that's not easy. That's difficult. That's really cool that you took care of succulents like that. Pat yourself on the back.
And when I was in college, the one plant I had was what we call the snake plant. You can't possibly kill a snake plant. You can't kill one. I did back at that time. So I would take it to my mom, and she was really good with plants. She nurtured it. It was back again once it was healthy. I'd take it back with me to school. But yeah, that's, I've come a long way. I have definitely.
Yes, you have.
I have come a very long way.
I know your mom was looking down very proud of you.
Yes, I know.
That's awesome.
I know.
You know, you mentioned that you wrote your book after your loss of your mother. That was devastating for you. The reason I began volunteer teaching grief recovery classes was because both my adoptive parents died in 2008. And I took the class, you know, to deal with that. And then I turned around and just started teaching the class because it helped me so much. I wanted to give back. But that was, it's interesting that each of us had lots of parents that, you know, put us in that direction to help others cope with loss.
Oh, definitely. Because I, my mom wasn't just mom. She was my best friend. And when she passed, I realized I was in trouble when I woke up one morning. And the first thing I thought about was, oh my God, I'm still here, meaning that I didn't want to be.
Oh.
And I look at myself at that time and where I am today. I wake up and I said, Lord, I thank you that I am here. I thank you for the blessings that you've given me, the peace that I have, the comfort that I have. And when I see where I am, I didn't think I'd ever be here. I'm on a mission to share my story to help others who are struggling with. So many people will feel like you just lost a loved one, that, oh, I don't want to see tomorrow. My world is so, yes, your world is different and it's not going to be the same, but you can still tap into those coping skills that you have. And if you don't have them, let's talk about it. We'll help you along the way here. And you'll look forward to each day that you have.
Definitely.
And you have to believe in something. I don't talk a lot about religion because it's so debatable. But I think you have to find what works for you, what you believe in. For me, what works for me is believing that someday I'll see her again. Hmm. And I hang on to that because none of us came to stay here. We're all going to leave someday. And we don't all, that's just life.
Right.
That's just the way that it is. The key is, for me, the key is to be prepared.
Amen. Yeah.
To be prepared spiritually. So that's my focus. And I just love talking to other people about that. And then the goal with that piece being that there's a fear of death. Well, what can we do? Let's talk about this so we can be less fearful. And that's important to me because I am a retired nurse. I've been a nurse for over 30 years and I've
seen
so much.
You have a great perspective from that.
I do.
Wow.
All that I've been exposed to. So I want to share my story with other people to help them move on with life and to know that you can live again and you can thrive and you can look forward to seeing tomorrow. It's not doom and gloom every day because the loved one has passed.
Right.
It does get better. It does
definitely. That's mm-hmm. I always say that, and that's similar to my story where people ask why would you want to teach grief recovery? That sounds so challenging and so depressing. And I'm like, no, it's motivational. That's the number one reason. And it's similar to yours, is because I realized when my parents died, luckily I didn't go through that as much, that mm-hmm. depression as much, but I saw in my class with people with their losses and the way they spoke like that. So mm-hmm. the number one reason I always say is because I realized that so many people want to die after they've lost a loved one. They just want to give up. And I'm like, that's when you need that encouragement more than ever. So yeah.
You just said something very important is that I think that happens. Some would be surprised at how often it happens that when you've lost a loved one, you just give up. You feel like you just don't want to go on, but we don't talk about it because we don't want others to know exactly how we feel. Well, do I sound like I'm a weak person? Or am I pessimistic? Am I a negative person? And nobody wants to be around negativity. And you know how we are today. The negative energy and all that. Mm. Well, we go through things in life, but it's important for people to know that there are others out there who are willing to help you, to encourage you, to motivate you to move on and to reinforce and remind you that it does get better. It's going
definitely.
To get better. You're not alone. You're not alone.
No. And
be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with other people. If they ask you how you're doing, if you're not doing well, then say you're not doing well.
Yeah, because they can't help mm-hmm. you if you don't tell them. You know, for mm-hmm. me, you know, to keep it real, like, it's weird because with my parents, I don't know, it was a different scenario. And you know, they both had health issues and such. But ironically, they both died because they got MRSA from their medical mm-hmm. staff
uh-huh.
at time in the same hospital. So this whole COVID thing has been a huge reminder to me of what of that experience, what happened back then. Aw, such a cute dog.
Hey, baby, yes.
Aw.
He was looking at me. I had to pick her up because she wanted to get up here and see what. See, I'm hearing her voice, mommy. What's going on?
So sweet. My dog's next to me on the floor right now.
Okay.
But so that was 2008. But you know, I kept going and going. And when I crashed and got really down was 2014 because I'm a reunited adoptee. And my biological father died from cancer the same day my birth mom called, the same morning, literally. I'm parked in his driveway, like his apartment, where he's just died. Uh-huh. And I get a phone call and she says, "Shall I have cancer again?" I'm like, I couldn't move. I was in shock. Like, my birth mom's telling me she has cancer for a second time, and my birth dad just died from cancer. And it was just too much. I'd already lost my adoptive parents. So I shut down. I started getting stage fright issues. I'm still trying to find my way back on that now. I've been working on it during the pandemic because it was one of those bucket list reminders, like, oh, well, now am I ever going to get on stage again? Like, oh, I should have done this sooner, you know? But that was for me my when the depression hit, when I was like, oh, this is not good. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
When you lost your adopted parents, immediately after that you lost your biological mother.
Ask again. What part? I'm sorry.
After you lost your adoptive parents, was it right after that you lost your biological mother?
Oh no, no. My adoptive parents both died 2008, 6 months apart. And then my biological father died 2014, but my birth mom got cancer a second time. She's thankfully in remission now. So she's my last living parent.
Right. Okay, she's still okay.
And she lives like 10 minutes from me. Like we're very close now.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's nice. But I'm her only child, you know, like I don't want to think about losing her because I know that'll be another very challenging time for me, you know, but I don't want to really think about it till
I know
I have to deal with it.
I just have one daughter myself.
Aw, how old is she, if I may ask?
She will be 34 this year.
Wow, you look so young.
Yes, she will be 34.
No way you have a daughter.
I don't have a son-in-law yet. I don't have any grandkids. So as I go back to saying, come on, I'm isolated. I'm in isolation. I guess I was in isolation before the pandemic. I didn't pay attention to it. Yes.
Oh,
but you know what? Another thing that really, really threw me off that made this challenging initially with this pandemic is I found now that I'm retired, my outlets I could no longer engage in, one being shopping. I love to shop. Mm-hmm. I love to shop. I love to go out to eat because it's just with it's just being myself, I don't always cook.
Right.
And those things with me not being able to do those things, that really, really had an impact on just trying to keep that anxiety at bay. Because the things that I enjoyed doing, I could no longer do. Now, yes, now the stores are open. Some of the restaurants are opening, dining in as well. But I'm sort of slow about getting back out to sit and dine just yet.
Yeah, me too.
Sundays, not being able to engage with church activities. My church family, I look at church as family. That,
yes.
Not being able to do that, and you sometimes you feel like you're zoomed out. It's just
I've had that Zoom burnout feeling.
Yes,
yeah,
my goodness.
I love the Eventbrite classes, but sometimes I get like that. I'm like, I'm just gonna take a day off. I'm just gonna watch TV. I'm just gonna read a book. I get outside. I just gotta take a Zoom break. But yeah, it is challenging because you like shopping, going out to eat, and then you weren't able to do those certain things for a while. Like, and I'm like with you too. I haven't gone out to eat since the whole pandemic began, you know. Of course, I've mostly been home, been sick, but yeah, that I'm not ready for that. Even if
today was my very first day doing this, when you saw me with my bow cup.
Yeah,
breakfast this morning, I just
my recognized
had to go because there was so few people in there. It was like I think maybe I was the third person.
Really,
there was plenty of space. I just couldn't wait. Oh my goodness, I just couldn't wait. So that was my time to just reflect. Yeah, I was, I guess I'm really attached to the bow because when my mom was alive, I used to own a business and she would come help. And before she would go back home, we'd meet for breakfast at the Bojangles. And,
Cool.
So I still go and I just reflect on life and just not having been able to do that since March. I was excited today to go in and just sit because it was hardly anyone in there. I felt comfortable doing that.
That sounds nice. We have a coffee shop restaurant called Joe's Coffee Shop by me, and it was my favorite thing to do is just go enjoy myself. I'm married, but I'll have lunch by myself. My husband's like, have fun. I'm just is how I am. Yeah. And I'll just enjoy myself and have a nice lunch or breakfast and coffee and pie and just write comedy or read, you know, newspaper. Like, I just enjoy that time. Yeah.
Did I miss that? You write comedy? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I missed that.
Yes, I write comedy. I performed stand-up off and on since, like, I think 2012 I started. I was getting in the groove. And then when my birth dad died, 2014, is when mm-hmm. I got stage fright because he was, like, my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happened was he made a bet. He was like, Shell, his name was Johnny, and Johnny was like, Shell, I know this is your dream, and I know you're scared. I'll make a bet. If you go to open mic, I'll go to open mic with you and we'll both perform. And he did it. He performed and then I went and it was fun. Our whole family came. It was so fun. And so then I got in classes and started doing open mics and I was getting in the groove. And then when he died, it was like the stage fright issue. It came back. So when the pandemic happened, I was like, oh no, I should have gotten, should have gotten back on stage sooner. I should have conquered this. I don't want to die not do my dream job. Comedian is my full-time passion dream job in the end. So I love to make people laugh, which is an interesting balance because I also volunteer teach grief recovery.
I was thinking about that. Yes, grief on one end and to make someone happy, laugh on the other.
It has been extreme. A challenge.
Yeah.
It is very extreme. It's my life balance act, I call it. So, I'm taking a class right now, this Christian comedian named Rick Roberts. Love him. He has a great podcast called School of Laughs. And he is doing a three night class every Tuesday. This past Tuesday was our first class. And I love the class. And I couldn't help but notice two or three of the people, at least, including myself, all mentioned they like help with loss or therapy or grief recovery, but they're also comedians. And I was like, oh, it's not just me. I'm so happy. Because it feels kind of weird sometimes, like trying to balance it. So to know that there are other people out there like me that do both is reassuring.
Okay.
I'm not crazy. About like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a balance there. You're not the only one.
No.
You have company. Okay.
Yes. Thankfully. We need to start our own group. It's very unique, but that was the first time I met anyone else similar in that scenario. So I was like, oh, finally. It was like a relief for me because I'll be honest, sometimes I wonder, should I keep doing both? And then I pray about it and then I always have the answer, yes, don't give up either. Like God keeps telling me somehow I can manage to do both. So I just keep doing both.
Well, it sounds like what I can look at with both in that sense, you're helping. You're helping others. When people go to listen to comedy, you sort of escape. It's a mental escape from reality. And you're looking for something to lift you, to make you feel better, to laugh. You're going to release mm-hmm. those endorphins and you're going to feel better. But also when you're working with people who are grieving, your goal there is to assist them, to help them, to encourage them and to motivate them to come on, we're gonna get better, we're gonna get through this. So in both aspects, you're helping, whether it's grief or whether it's the comedy, you're helping people, and that's how I see that.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Makes me feel better. That's nice.
And we need that today in this world. It's just so much that's wrong, so much chaos. So much misery and sadness and so much negativity, but we need something that's going to uplift us.
Definitely.
To remind us that life is worth living. So come on, let's do this thing and do the best that we can do. And if you fall short today, then if you should see tomorrow, just do better. If you don't see tomorrow, we know you're not going to worry about it. Because
it's not.
Let's just go ahead and fuck the heck with it. So.
Oh my goodness. I can only imagine, since you were a nurse for so many years, you must have a great sense of humor.
I have to. But you know, I also have to say, people say, well, by the time you reach 40, you're going to see life different. When you hit 50, you see it this way. As I'm older, and just because you're older doesn't mean there's more wisdom, but I do feel that I'm wiser.
Cool.
So many things, little things that I used to worry about, the ruffled my feathers that I was concerned about. It's not worth the stress. Stress is so much damage to our bodies that we don't think about because you don't see it. But it's there. It does so much. Think about it. It elevates your blood pressure. It damages your organs. It's the mental aspect, the mental challenges that we have because of the stress.
Wow.
Just let it go. Just let it go. If you can't change it, if it's out of your control, there's nothing you can do about it right now. You have to let it go. And then if you can, let's not tackle the entire situation, whatever it is. If you can't handle it all, just chip away a little bit at a time. Just a little bit of a time. A little bit at a time to work towards solving whatever that problem is.
That's good advice. Yeah, just chisel away one piece at a time. Those things you can control, that is.
Yes, and I know that time is winding up here, but I just want to also say that how important it is to build a strong support system, and I mentioned that in my book as well, is sometimes we feel like we can go it alone, I can do this by myself. But there's a time when you realize that, yes, you can do it, but it helps, and the journey is so much better when you have a friend. Doesn't have to be the spouse, but a friend, a reliable person that you know that you can call on. And maybe it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you just need to talk. You need to vent. I don't know what it is about 2 o'clock. If you can't sleep, that's about the time you wake up and you just need to talk to someone. And it helps to have someone that you can trust, that you can rely on to be there and not say, oh my gosh, don't you know it's 2 o'clock, why are you calling? No, you want that person to say, something's wrong, let's talk about it, I'm here for you. That is so important. So I encourage, if you don't have that, then remember, in order to make friends, you have to show yourself friendly. You need at least one. So
that's so
that cute. helps.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I won't say who, but you know, one of my own dear friends made me feel terrible in the middle of the night, because I did reach out and I was like, it was like, why are you bothering me? It's 4 a.m. And
there, like, you go. You don't need that.
Oh, never mind. And then I was all sad the whole night. And then the next night I had two different friends that were there for me in the middle of the night. And I was like, this is what I needed.
That's what
made
you
me
need.
Feel better. I was like, forget the other friend. I love him, but I'm not going to reach out to him in the middle of the night anymore.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because that is what, and when I talk to people, I encourage that. You need that kind of friend that's not going to snap at you and say, don't you know what time it is? You need the kind of friend that's going to say, I'm here for you. Let's talk about it.
Oh, man.
That's kind of like the person that's there for you when there is no champagne. It's just, you know, we got Kool-Aid today and that's it.
Right.
You need that. When you're at your lowest, they're there with you, instead of just when you're on your high all the time.
Exactly. And isn't it funny, too, I went to from that to a double blessing with not just one, but two different friends that were there for me.
Yes.
I was like, wow, this is even better. It was what I needed, apparently.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That's cool.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
very grateful for them. And I'm definitely there for them. Like, but I'm like that with anyone. I will never complain. You can call, text me any time of night. I will be there for you. Like, I'm a huge believer in that, you know, because there's a reason. Yes. If someone's reaching out, there's a reason for that, you know, they need you. Oh, would you like to share again how everyone can find your book and any social media or anything else to keep in touch?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have the book is Coping with the Loss of a Loved One. And you can find it on my website is mywordtherapy.com, because I look at words as being therapy. It's words that heal and often are scriptural. And the book also includes prayers and poetry. And what else was I going to add to that? I'm also on September 4th, I'm going to have my first Eventbrite event. And that is just, let's talk about it. Just have a discussion with those that have lost loved ones. What do you want to share? And then what I will share is input inserts from my book. And so definitely September 4th is on a Friday at 7 p.m. Go to Eventbrite and schedule a ticket. free. Donation based, or is free. And I'd just love to have that conversation. And I will say I've enjoyed this time conversing with you. And
me too. Thank you so much.
I had no idea about your background, and I think it's interesting that our backgrounds are sort of similar.
I know. But
I think I'm just naturally a little bit funny because I like to see people laugh.
I love your personality.
Yeah, I know life can be challenging and it can be a struggle, and we may not say these things because up front, oftentimes we see a facade, but inwardly we're hurting. Inwardly we're bruised because of something that may have happened 10, 20 years ago, but we're still carrying it around. Mm-hmm. And I love to try to help people feel better.
Awesome. You keep doing the great work, and I'll try to check out your September 4th event myself too.
That's my first night is September 4th, and then each month, the first Friday of each month at 7 p.m. Good.
And if you need any help, because I've been doing Eventbrite events, if you need help with that technicality stuff, I can guide you through that.
Well, I was going to ask if you could send me your email address or something.
Sure.
If I can touch you after this, I would love to do that. Because
no problem.
I'm not that tech savvy. I can use all the help I could get. So, yeah, I would love that information.
Okay, I'll send you my email, and then I can help you with any technical stuff. It's pretty user-friendly, but for the first time, it's a little overwhelming.
Okay.
So no problem. So I'm going to let me just click stop recording, and then I can send you my email.
Sure.
So the whole world doesn't, see it, you know? So thank you all so much for tuning in to Coffee Talk with Shell, where there's always Friday in life. Hope you'll keep tuning in. Sunday nights, lives air 8 p.m. Central Time. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram at CoffeeTalkWC, and always feel free to send me your topic suggestions and guest interview requests. And in the meantime, wishing each of you a wonderful week. Oh, go ahead, Wanda.
I was just going to add that you can also follow me on Instagram, and it's at MyWordTherapy20.
MyWordTherapy20. Oh, and we should give Omar a shout out too, my favorite actor that said hello earlier. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram. I think both are Omar. I want to say Omar Miller. His full name's Omar Benson Miller, but I think he goes by Omar Miller on his social media. And if I'm wrong, just email or message me at CoffeeTalkWC. But I'm pretty sure it's Omar Miller. And I hope you'll follow him too, Wanda. He's a good guy. Yeah. So thank you all again, and keep in touch. And let me log off one moment here. Stop recording.